You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Obviously, for a lot of people, Thanksgiving weekend means football, and there's football to talk about. But we want to start our coverage of sports today by talking about the NBA with this 10-year deal that has a lot of details that we still have yet to sort of sift through. So joining us this morning is Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's a 10-year deal, but they have the chance to opt out after 6 years. So to a certain extent, one of the biggest takeaways from the deal is stability, right?
Well, at least they're talking about it. And let's just be clear that the deal is not yet signed, right? So there was a handshake deal. They basically said they don't want to lose any more money. Players don't want to lose any more money. The owners don't want to lose any more money. And they want to get back to playing for the fans.
All right. So let's talk about this shortened season and exactly what that means in terms of the kind of basketball we're going to see. A 66-game season. Some of these are going to be back-to-back games for every team. What does that mean in terms of the actual game? Sports.
So the last time we had a shortened season was the 98-99 season. And I think the conventional wisdom, which I was actually thinking, is that the veteran-laden teams like the Celtics, the Lakers, and even to the Knicks to a certain extent will be able to, you know, they'll have a shortened season. They'll be able to last long or play better throughout this shortened season,
really?
And be able to perform better throughout the whole thing. Now, actually, I think the veterans who've been used to a schedule that the NBA, the 82, 84 game season, they've been used to this. I think that they're actually going to affect them in a negative way. And I think we're going to see some teams that maybe didn't have as good of a season last year have a better season.
So it's a toss up a little bit. It sort of throws the coins up in the air and they might land a little bit differently, which is exciting for fans. It seems to me the psychology story is the big story of this NBA settlement in the sense that, and again, it's not completely clear yet. There was so much invective over the NBA during the negotiations and the difficulties and the stalemate. But once this was signed, I mean, all I heard, even from people that aren't the biggest basketball fans in the world, is relief. I mean, people really were worried that they'd have to go through the winter without a basketball companion. There's some sort of working class quality to basketball that I think it has to do with the NBA more than it does even the NFL and baseball.
I think you're the folks who are diehard NHL fans are a little sad that this has happened because now the focus is going to shift away from the NHL.
That's right.
The other day I saw a group of young boys walking down the street and they were like, the NBA is back. The NBA is back. So that you're right. There's a sort of a cacophony of voices that are like, yes, finally, now we can get to watching basketball. And I think that that's sort of the energy that's happening right now.
But, I mean, in many of these lockouts before, where the arguments have been over millions and billions of dollars, there has been a certain sort of cynicism that settles into the fans. And I'm not sure that goes away.
I don't think that's going to happen with the NBA. I think the NBA fans are really, you know, they're focused on watching the game. Now, the only thing, you know, this might become the National Hamstring League, because all these guys are going to be pulling hamstrings left and right because they've had a shortened season. They haven't been able to prepare.
They're now going to have to play.
Exactly. You're not going to see LeBron and Kobe doing their thing all the time.
All right. Well, let's move from the NBA to football. Obviously, there was a big weekend, and the Detroit Lions did not pull off another 1962 miracle and beat the Packers, which I was disappointed by. But here was something that made a lot of people happy.
Matt Prater. He's got it. The Denver Broncos have won four in a row. 16-13 in overtime. And the Tebow train continues to churn out W's.
All right, so
John
Elway
leading that train.
So this is the status of the NFL this weekend. Tim Tebow rushes 22 times, the most by a quarterback in since the 1950s, and he throws for under 200 yards and he gets a win. On the flip side, you have someone, Vince Young, threw for 400 yards for the Eagles, and they lose 38-20. This is sort of the vibe of the NFL this weekend.
Oh, so you're saying that the throwing plays didn't work out for anybody.
It's parody. And it's also that this is a team. This is a team sport. And NFL football is a team sport. Right now you have all these injuries, all these star players that are out. It really gets down to what team is the most cohesive, that's the most organized, that really wants to win, that believes in the plan of the coaches and believes in each other, and who really wants to win. And that's what you're seeing right now in the NFL.
Well, it was a big win for the New York Jets in their game against Buffalo. The Jets won 28-24. Four touchdowns from Mark Sanchez. Is that the end of Buffalo season?
It looks as though, you know, they started off 4-1. They lose 5 in a row. It's not looking good for the Bills. They've lost too many marquee players, and they haven't been able to finish games.
But it was – I mean, they came out ahead. In terms of their fans, they did better than expected.
You know, at that point, at this point in the season, when you start off so good, it's heartbreaking for Bills fans.
All right. So let's talk. Obviously, now it's time to speak to talking about the playoffs and who's going to be in and who is not. Who are the teams we're going to be looking for?
Well, right now,
I have no idea, in fact.
Well, he does. He's got an idea.
We got the Packers and the 49ers. That's about it.
I think the way you just said that, I think you have the Packers in the NFL and then you have everyone else. I think that's the way that it's set up. Right now, you have all the division leaders. You have like the Dallas, who's playing well. You have Atlanta, who's playing well. You have the Saints. You have people who are playing very well.
The Pats are
playing well. But there's still some teams that are looking at chopping at the bit. That's like the Giants. That's the Jets. There's other teams that are on the outside. They're trying to claw their way back in.
And that makes for good football.
It makes for great football, and it makes that all of this time right now is basically the playoffs. The Giants, they have a game tonight against the New Orleans Saints. They are seeing this game as a playoff game. The Bills yesterday, the Jets yesterday, they saw their game yesterday as a playoff game. From now on to the end of the season, it's the playoffs.
So what does that mean in terms of the kind of athletics that you see on the field? Does that change the way they play?
It doesn't change it. It just means that you're going to see, sometimes
they make more mistakes because they're more nervous.
Yeah, right.
Like the Giants tonight. How many mistakes are they going to make tonight against the Saints?
You have been seeing a lot of penalties, a lot of interceptions, a lot of sloppy football.
A lot of rudeness on the field as well.
Indeed. And, you know, we're not going to mention by whom because they might be Detroit Lions.
Sue.
Well, that was nasty what happened. He's going to get a 2-game suspension.
He stomped on a player while he was down on the ground.
Yeah.
And he's known as a dirty player, but I think he just took it a little bit too far.
He did. All right, so let's get a prediction from you. The Saints take on the Giants tonight. Who's going to take that game?
As much as I love the Giants, and as much as I really their linebacker core is too young and too inexperienced, and they get exposed every game, and Drew Brees is what he does, and he's going to just expose them.
I am a Drew Brees Saints fan, so you made me happy, but I believe you've depressed our controller.
No, it breaks my heart, too.
That's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Thanks, Ibrahim.
Good morning.